Good evening, everybody, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I am your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm happy to have back my guest, Andrew Fitter. Andrew is the author of two books, When the Angels Have Risen, and its sequel, The Heretic. Presently, he hosts a weekly radio show every other week here at BBS on Fridays at 11 a.m., called When Pigs Fly. So let's welcome Andrew back to the show now. How are you, Andrew?
Doing great, and thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, well, I'm happy to have you. We had fun chatting the last time, so God only knows where it'll take us this time, but since then, you've written another book.
Yes, I had my sequel, The Heretic, come out officially as of last December.
Ah, and how's it doing?
Actually, it's doing quite good. It's kicked off a couple book signing events, and everyone I've had so far have been complete sellouts.
Wow.
And
you'll have to give me some tips off the air to get my own book going. Where did you get the inspiration for this? Let's just say, why don't you give us a brief... I'm just curious. The first book was more in contemporary times, almost futuristic. Then you went back to the times of Alexander the Great. What was your inspiration for that?
Well, there was about in my first book, the When the Angels Have Risen, there's like a year I don't talk about.
Uh-huh.
And I definitely wanted to incorporate the two ideas. Three ideas to incorporate within The Heretic. One was the idea of understanding of regression and past lives.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to, and how they relate to us now. And also I wanted to relate to concepts that we have in today's times and how, what we think are more moral or maybe just cultural.
Uh-huh.
And also, I want to incorporate also the structure of spiritualism in reverse and take into a new dynamics. Now, I was always fascinated by history. That's like I love reading about history since I was a little kid.
Oh, okay.
And Alexander the Great was one person that has affected, as far as the Western Hemisphere, so much. Yet very little has, you know, they've talked about his campaigns and whatnot. So I decided to do in-depth research and bring my character back during that time.
Mm.
And so when I did it, I took about a year's research. I looked through all his campaigns, the areas obviously during that time from Crete, which is in my book, Egypt, Greece, Asia Minor, Judea, Israel, Syria, Lebanon, and Persia. So I had to look through that times, but the hardest thing was looking into his persona, how, you know, it was very little about him as a person, and that took and that's what I wanted to bring out, to find out what was his mentality.
Mm.
And the same token, I brought out Aias into the book, which is the main character, who's the past life of Jerry Fletcher, and that's through his regression. He finds himself back during the time of Alexander the Great.
Cool. Well, there's a lot of people doing regression therapy now, and it's fascinating to find out what comes out about it. They're going into past lives, and some people have actually been conscious in a robotic body. Some have been a leaf, a bug, and all kinds of interesting things. Dolores Cannon writes some books about that, her convoluted... Universe series, and it's just fascinating, you know. And then other people are doing regression into the in-between time, you know, not only the near-death experience where you go back to where you came from, but the time before you incarnate. So we're kind of piecing together a little bit of the picture of what might be the way some things work on the other side of life, you know, where maybe that's a more real side of life than this one. What do you think?
Well, what I did, actually, in my book, there's three lives that are actually, because I always put something of myself within the book.
Oh yeah, well I hope so.
And there's the past lives are actually my past, the three of past lives that I'm aware of.
Oh,
one
cool.
of the three past lives. And also the regression that is in there is actually a regression that has been performed on me, and that I also do as well. In fact, I have sort of funny, I haven't done any regressions in a long time, and since my book's come out, everybody has come out of the woodwork asking me to do a regression on them.
Oh, gee.
Which, you know, I'm going to probably start doing down the line. And, you know, and it's true what you're talking about. I tend to hold back on wanting people to go regression because I make them aware. I don't want them to get too caught up in past lives when they need to experience their present life, and that's a lot
yeah.
of people don't realize. The only issue to know, understand your past life, and like what you're talking through, the in-between areas, because then you, then which is a whole other concept, is to relate to why, you know, things are that you've picked up have brought into this life that may, or karmic events that you may not understand why you're at this situation, why you're facing certain challenges in this particular life.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So that was an important thing. That's actually why I pulled this into my book, in The Heretic. You'll see there is a complementary effect between IES and why he is the way he is then in the book, and then Jerry Fletcher. And it's also reciprocated, because if you read The Heretic, it's made so you can read either one.
Mm-hmm.
But if you read The Heretic, you can always go back and read When the Angels Are Risen and go, okay, now I see how this guy is then from this thing. And then you go read the other book, you go, oh, okay, or vice versa. But it's very interesting that you brought that up about going through regressions, because basically it's when you're doing a regression, and it's sort of funny because I brought this up in one of my own past shows. It's basically you're bringing, because you're bending what they call the quantum area of a time element,
uh-huh.
and you're experiencing in a different area on different planes in a more of a quantum. I know if you understand, you know, it's like the old, like on this plane where we see things. In a three-dimensional plane as far as space and as far as time is linear.
Uh-huh.
But if you go into the antimatter and it's going fast speed of light, or you bend to the other side, that's when you're at three-dimensional time and one-dimensional space.
Uh-huh.
And so when you bend that, then you see the other reality, and that's what the reality of your spiritual side, that's the side that you don't see, that's the side that asks the reality. You'll find the infinite time element, infinite space, infinite things, and you find a different dimension. And when people go through regressions, when they find themselves, you're talking about like a leaf or something else, you're actually, I believe, you're connecting with your oversouls, because I believe we have so many oversouls that's connecting to so many elements and so many experiences, because we're all pretty much one, that you're bringing in all these other experiences that you've had, not in one particular past life, but many infinite past lives.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one. And I'm guessing we should talk a little bit about the veil of forgetfulness that we all seem to agree to go under when we come here, because we forget that we came from this realm for a reason, and possibly one of the reasons is that it would be overwhelming if we were to know about our other lives or our other concurrent lives, because theoretically they're all occurring at the same time, right?
Right. And it's like there's a famous guy, this is a famous Kabbalistic rabbi one time told me an old story. It's sort of like when we're on the other side, before we reincarnate, we have all knowingness of everything around us. And when the minute that we are placed into our embodiment, an angel hits us on top of the lip to wake up. And then, you know, a little denim upper lip. When we wake up, that's when that's the veil. And it's for our own protection. It's so that if you knew it, if you knew all the future, you would be too lazy to experience the present.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And also, don't you think, I've had guests, quite a few guests that have had near-death experiences, and they describe absolutely beautiful realms of, you know, they're beyond heavenly. I mean, clearly there are realms beyond this one that are just so awesome, that different colors that you can't describe, that it's all beyond words. And if we were to be aware of that in this lower dense, thick, crusty dimension, don't you think people would want to get out of here fast?
Yes and no. I think being into this embodiment needs to be embraced on one side as well as on the spiritual side.
Oh yeah.
And I think that the problem is when people become in this own embodiment, they are connected, and then they're manufactured ideas and being oppressed by whether it's their children, by their parents or clerics,
mm-hmm.
or society telling them, you know, thinking more on a finite basis.
Mm-hmm.
So when they look at things finite, they can't identify to their own real spirit, because
mm-hmm.
spirit is infinite. So, and they're, you know, and it's also within their own, especially the Christian religion is very finite. So they look at things very finite-like. So the things they cannot relate to their spiritual side as being something ultraly connected, where we're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's like, it's where, like, some, in a lot of organized religions, they lose their real fundamentals. Like, even in Islam, the real Islam is if we're all Allah as everything,
mm-hmm.
then we're all connected. So
mm-hmm.
if you turn to someone who says he's a Muslim and he believes in Allah, and he hates the right arm, hates his left arm, let's
mm-hmm.
say a Jew or a Christian or a Buddhist or Hindu, then you're really hating Allah, because that's
mm-hmm.
part of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to realize that we are all connected. And when what you're talking about, which is absolute fundamental, that if everybody reached out and really realized the spiritual side and the connectedness, how we're all basically a tree,
mm-hmm.
and we're all different leaves connected to that tree, then we would realize it's sort of, not to sound Carlos Mencia, but it's sort of retarded to, to hate one another, to want to kill, to subjugate somebody else's, your ideas on them. And
exactly. It's foolish. It's like, it's like a family arguing with each other, you know, except that we're all over the world. And, you know, and there's death involved, and torture and subjugation and greed and corruption, and it seems to be pretty rampant now, don't you think?
Yeah, well, it's basically, I believe, the falsehood of feeling like they're in control,
mm.
feeling like an empower, they're, so it's the illusionary idea of being in control.
Yeah,
there's like,
yeah.
You know, and I mean, you've heard, like, the Bilderbergers and the conspiracies and those things. You hear
yeah.
of all the different factions of people consistently trying to control, including economics.
Yeah.
In fact, even energy today, we have the ability to have free energy. We've had it even since Tesla invented it.
And possibly
but
even it, before.
Yeah, but, and we have, but that's all about because they need to meter it, and it's not to just make money. Money is an economics to control people.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up because, I've been reading a lot about how free energy has been suppressed, and that a lot of devices have been purchased by the major companies. No names will be mentioned. I don't want anybody visiting at my door. But they simply shelved these things. And one of the interesting stories was about someone who worked for one of the car companies, and apparently the guys who were designing these engines were having fun trying to see how many miles per gallon they could get out of their test vehicles. And they one got 100 miles per gallon, and then another one got 150. Well, you don't hear about that, and you never have. And, in fact, the mileage has gone from, 40 miles a gallon to, 26 now? It's
yeah.
just amazing. And cars, instead of becoming more streamlined, I remember when I was a kid, the Thunderbird was coming out. It looked like a bullet. And then over the years, they're getting boxier and boxier. Well, there's more drag there, more gas to fill into the car. And the SUVs are heavier. So we're actually going backwards.
Yeah, it's worldwide. It's not just It's when I talk about free energy, I don't know if you're familiar with Nikola Tesla.
Yes.
Well, he was hired back in the late 1800s by J.P. Morgan,
mm-hmm.
and he developed a device. He actually basically stick it in the ground. I'm trying to remember the name of it, and it gave free energy, and it was wireless free energy.
Yeah,
to throw electricity out, and J.P. Morgan was freaked out by it because there's no way to put a meter on it so you can charge people.
Mm-hmm.
And Tesla, all he cared about was trying to help humanity, and they ran out. Took his device, trying to get burned up his papers, but there is those still the knowledge and the ability to create that. And just imagine if we had free energy, and you stuck a device into the ground, and because it's talking about electromagnetic energy, because
mm-hmm.
it's all out there,
mm-hmm.
then the economics in the world would totally be there. Would now be there wouldn't be money. I mean, because come on, if you have free energy.
Mm-hmm.
Food would be plentiful. Clothes mm-hmm. would be plentiful. We'd become like that Star Trek area, you know, where they, I don't know, it sounds nerdy or Star Trek-y, but they go, hey, you remember when back in the late 1900s and in the 2000 and 2100,
yeah.
they had that thing called money, you know?
yeah.
You know, and we would evolve, like,
yeah.
overnight.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think we're on the verge. You know, a lot of people have been silenced too, or bought out. You know, they've been paid millions of dollars for their devices, and then they sit on shelves. And I've known of a few people that have been had mysterious deaths. So there's no question in my mind that there's a stranglehold here, and that when the energy shifts, people will start coming out with it all over the place, and they won't be able to suppress it. And it'll be like a transformation, I think. And you do some research into 2012 and the prophecies about that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think that we're headed for some major shifts, and I think that it will happen so quickly that it's, you know, I don't know how it'll happen, but what are some of your thoughts on that subject?
Well, it's funny you say you saw that, because actually I saw David Wilcock when he was out here on the UFO conference in Laughlin.
Uh-huh.
And I was sort of blown away. I guess it was sort of meant to be to hear him, because it was sort of like I was going there to go on a radio show, I was being interviewed.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, while I'm there, I'm going to go see a couple speakers, right? And so
yeah.
for some reason I heard his name, and I didn't know who he was, and I just wanted to hear what he had to say. It was quite fascinating, but later on, he hit on some major things, like right on the nose, regarding the truth about global warming, about 2010 and 2012, and how the tertiary effect of our planet and the tertiary effect on our DNA, and how, in a physics scientific terms, is also our spiritual terms. Is coming to a head, and why we have so many UFOs coming open. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you heard about the UK now opened up its archives for all their classified material regarding extraterrestrials and UFOs.
Yes, that was quite a nice step, wasn't it?
Yeah, and but see, all this stuff is coming to effect, and he said in 2010, he thought that we're going to hit a bump, and I've always felt we're going to hit a bump, like this something almost like hit our heads or something happening in the realm that we're going to get a hit, like a split. Like, it's almost like the world is splitting up. People become extremely clairvoyant,
uh-huh.
and there's not going to be one or two people are psychic. It's going to be a massive amount of people becoming more clairvoyant and more
uh-huh.
intuitive and more into their spiritual side, and the other side reaching for the old way, the old change.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You see it even the dynamics, I mean, even politically, I'm not going to get into the thing with Barack Obama, but that is a symptom of the causation that's coming within the United States, people looking for change.
Right.
It is a desire to, you know, for a new and non-narcissistical approach toward things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's changing, and I think we're going to have a big bump in 2010, and then in 2012, You know, I look at people call it the end of the world, you know, as the Mayans call it, but I call it actually the new beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how I feel it's heading. And that's actually why I wrote the When the Angels Have Risen, to tell you the truth. I wrote that as a book to give people self-confidence, to give them their self-worth, and knowing that there is going to be, we will become, we will have the meetings with the extraterrestrials, and it's all sort of intermixed with both our spirituality and
mm-hmm.
our politics as well. I think this is all going to collide together, and it's going to open doors. There's people who are going to be really freaked out and fearful of the new things that are going to happen, because it's going to, you know, hit them in the face that what you were told was a lie,
mm-hmm.
that the religions that your clerics have told you, a
mm-hmm.
lie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people, I hate to say, are going to either do something drastic, God forbid, commit suicide or do something else. And then there's the other side where people will be embracing it. So people do have choices
when
it comes to that. But
you know, this is such a good topic to talk about, because, you know, we're right at the moment, you know, whether it takes a year or 2 years or 4 years for these shifts to occur. But the exopolitics movement, for instance, ties into this, and apparently there's quite a bit of evidence that shows that the major governments have been conducting agreements with various ET races, and this has been going on for 20, 30, 40, 50, or 60 years. And, you know, we've been kept in the dark, so it's conceivable that the lid will come off either through the benevolent ETs that are trying to help us, and I do believe that's occurring. And for those who want to find out more about that, continue to listen to the show after mine with Jim Gilliland, who talks about this with heart and with depth. And he has that ranch up in Washington where the ships fly by all the time. So
yeah, I was on his show last year, and it was sort of a flip talk about interview. I was actually interviewing him because he was telling me, "Yeah, I got a ship flying right while we're talking now." Come on. He shouldn't, well, we're talking, next thing I know, after we close the interview, he emails me a video of it, and I see the tagline, and I go, holy hell.
Yeah, oh yeah, he is so for real, and he's so positive and so heartfelt about it, and it's a difficult cross to bear, because, you know, you have the skeptics on one side, and you've got people tearing you apart, and then you've got people who are trying to destroy your reputation. So it's a difficult time. I just saw a great movie. Have you seen The Phoenix Lights that was made by that doctor? I can't remember her name. She's going to be on the show one of these days. But it just came out on video. It's called The Phoenix Lights.
The Phoenix Lights?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of it, but...
In 1997, there were sightings in Phoenix. Art Bell used to talk about this on his show a lot.
Isn't that where I'm trying to remember that, so the governor or something like that, I think they had it on Larry King, where originally he didn't want to, he was talking down about it, and then he acknowledged it, and they had a whole bunch of witnesses on Larry King, and they went into the very thing of what those lights were, and it looked like a big, huge, like, mothership flying across the Phoenix area?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, this movie that, I think it's Dr. Keitel, anyway, it's really done well. And apparently over 10,000 people saw these lights or the ship or whatever it is, and they have such an intelligent discussion about it. There's no arguing, it's just presenting information, and people just share what they saw. And one of the gals in the political board wanted to find out how to handle all these phone calls, because they were getting thousands of calls, and they just ignored her, like, you know, she didn't exist. And so she pressed it, and it became quite an issue there. So it's a really good movie, and they have some wonderful video that they've captured too, and it's done very professionally and very uplifting. So, you know, I think that we're getting very close to some kind of disclosure. with the exopolitics movement, it seems that either it's going to come out or it's going to be forced out of the closet.
Yeah, well, that's sort of like what you're talking about. I've heard where there's going to be peels and layers.
Yeah.
Like on CNN when the thing happened in Chicago with that area, the incident and all those people, and then it was on CNN, and then they had the incident in Stephenville, Texas, I think, was that last year? Yeah.
I don't know.
Or not long ago, actually.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they tried to, the Air Force tried to, make the people like they were didn't know what they were talking about.
As usual.
Yeah, it came out, and first of all, they said, oh, we had no flights in the area, and the next thing you know, oh, no, we're sending off balloons.
Right.
Or whatever. They had some jets flying out there, and then they had people come out and says, no, there was no jets flying out there, you're right. I think it's becoming more, I think actually all around the world has become more acceptable to it and more opening to it.
Yeah.
And I think the reason this country is apprehensive is all starts with the Brookings Institute. And I think that also has to do with the Brookings Institute, which was in the 50s.
Oh my God, I hate them.
Yeah, and well,
that
it goes
back.
That
ridiculous report.
Well, this goes back then. I hate to go back on conspiracies, but this happens to go back with the Bilderbergs, because the Bilderbergs are involved with the Brookings Institute.
They're going to be meeting pretty soon, too, apparently. They've got another meeting coming up somewhere.
Yeah, and I think they're getting forced upon, like you're saying, and I think one way or the other,
Like it or not.
Yeah, it's coming out with... See, they remind me. I remember I used to argue. I have arguments with a couple other people, like Don, but because a lot of people worried about them and control. But I always say, like, it reminds me of the book by Kurt Vonnegut, Sirens of Titan, and that's where people who think they're in control are themselves, are
absolutely
being controlled.
Absolutely, absolutely,
and it's an illusion, and I think they may have been in contract with ETs who they think they're getting something out, but there might be, I'm pretty sure that the ETs that are involved with them are pretty aware of what their mindset is.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're a step ahead and leading them on, yeah. And meantime, what they're doing is trying to open the door, I believe, for enlightenment, because I believe... There were two, basically, and this I bring out in the first book, When the Angels Have Risen. I believe there are two actual extraterrestrial in influences on our plane.
No.
One was positive and one was negative, and I believe in the last couple hundred years or so, it's been the dark side has basically been forced out, and the light side has come in.
Yeah.
And they really came in, almost you can draw a line when it all happened. When they say, "Hey, enough is enough," is when we let off our first nuclear weapon. And
that's right. What year was that?
When we lit it up during the war, and then right before that, there was acknowledgement. Right before that, with the Foo Fighters,
that's going
through England when they're doing their own tests.
That's right.
So. But I think that the whole realm of that thing happening was, and this gets in another area, when you let off a nuclear weapon, it affects the electromagnetic fields, which affects, now this gets in quantum, but it affects the stargate openings, and that's how people, they're able to go from millions of miles away, they basically flip open. You can't really physically go past the speed of light, so what they do is they bend it.
Right.
And, that's how they propel themselves. You can't really... So, anyway, not to get so scientific here, but I think affected it so much, they go, hey, wait a second, now you're screwing with our... our realm here, okay? You guys do not know that you're like little kids playing with a toy, and now you're screwing with us now. And I think that's where, it happened. And I've read and seen and had read reports and listened to witnesses. I even put them on my blog site of witnesses for example, at a military base where they have missiles, nuclear warheads, and out of nowhere, a UFO appears right in front of them. They try shooting at it, nothing happens.
Hmm.
And out of nowhere, because they thought it was like something from the Soviets, because it was during the Soviet, during the Cold War. And out of nowhere, all the missile heads are deactivated.
Like I've heard that.
Yeah,
over and over.
And that's they can't report it.
Right, yeah.
Because they can't tell, hey, by the way, hey, Soviets, we don't have any nukes, or our nukes aren't working. Come on, you know.
I'm sure the back channels get the information around.
We're
the last to get any accurate, truthful information, unfortunately. We've become the enemy.
Yeah.
You know, we have become the enemy. It's like these people that seem to think that they're in control seem to have a great deal of contempt for us. And, you know, that's really sad because, you know, like you said, as we start to shift in the two directions, kind of like the Hopi prophecy, show that one direction leads off the cliff and the other one leads to some kind of unknown enlightened.
Right, that's our choice.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's...
I think that the people like you and our listeners and Don and the rest and the light workers around the world and those who don't realize that they're doing light work are going to, their hearts are opening and we're connecting at the heart level, and that we're going to be telepathic just like you said. And that will be our form of communication, and those who resist, who want to control or think that they can control this, are going to slowly be squeezed out or left out unless they change, and that's going to be very rough for those people.
Yeah, that's exactly, in fact, that's funny that you said that. That's exactly, or ironically, what David Wilcock had proposed on his ideas, and I very much concur with you what you're saying. That's what I think is happening.
Yeah, it seems like the only direction that spirituality can evolve, because once you eliminate duality and there are no enemies any longer, then we're here to help each other, and there's a spirit of cooperation. Now, what will that do to the military-industrial complex? That is why there's so much resistance now.
Yeah,
because those people will be out of a job, all of them.
And if you know, there's a, and they don't talk about it, but there's actually a lot of, in fact, I posted it one time on my site, they had some ET flying over Israel.
Uh-huh.
And this is on BBC. This is when the Israelis knocked out that Syrian nuclear facility.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're talking to them, and then right flying behind, this is during a military training by the Israelis. They didn't even see it. There's an ET flying right behind the Israeli jet fighter.
Wow, that's great.
Which I thought was pretty fascinating. And then they've had instances in Jerusalem. And then what's really bizarre is, and it's been reported in Indian news, but I don't know why it's not proposed. Well, I know why it's not proposed. Come out to the Western. But there's been a lot of ETs in the Iranian area.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, and they first start shooting them thinking they were Americans, but they didn't realize they're ETs.
Yeah. Have you heard the rumor that we know that our military has back-engineered quite a few advanced systems and that they have technology that's hundreds of years ahead of anything that we have. I've heard the rumor that they have a particle beam weapon that they have actually used to shoot down a couple of saucers. And they're using those to back engineer as well. I mean, there's no way you can verify these things, but it certainly seems like something they would do. And you were talking about the heating up the ionosphere. Well, isn't that what HAARP does?
Yeah, they were trying to utilize different effects affecting the electromagnetic fields that would affect, UFOs, but what they found, what I've heard and read is that they've had problems dealing even as much as technology we have here, they can't even relate to, because they're too far ahead as far as going into a lot of the antimatter things, so they can't even deal with it. Like, in an instant, they can be on the other side and then reverse itself. And that's why they appear and they disappear. And as much as they think on this timeline and they think they can shoot a particle beam and do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is it's like they can go into another what they call a subspace,
mm-hmm.
if you want to get into that. And that's what I think their problem is. It's, you know, whatever action, there's always a reaction.
Oh, absolutely.
And so
the butterfly effect.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, they're trying to do, I've read and I've seen a lot of the military's always try to do what they call it, a reverse engineering, something they devise. They tried it with the Montauk chair, which was actually highly successful, they did. And
they weaponize literally everything. I mean, now food has been weaponized, water's been weaponized,
mm-hmm.
bacteria, everything, even the air. Look at the chemtrails that are now worldwide. Are you familiar with the chemtrails?
Yeah, yeah. They're
everywhere, and that's been going on for at least 10 years.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Nobody, I mean, it's like you would think that humans that are trying to breathe would look up and wonder what that was, and when they found out, they'd be outraged. But it never hits the mainstream media.
Yeah, it's like, it's not, why is it, a coincidence that there's so much cancer?
Thank you.
And why is it one third of how many kids now are diabetic?
One of the healers in my group had a 3-year-old child that came down with brain cancer. She had to go through over a year of chemotherapy. Now that's a kid. That's just unusual. The cases of lung problems is just astronomical.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what's in those things or what they're for, but some people, I mean, there's theories abounding about everything. So, I mean, until we actually know and people, you know, come out and force the government to admit to what's going on, of course, they spin everything. You know, it's like they're so used to lying and manipulating that. You know, if people see UFOs, they say those are balloons, blah, 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 blah. And same thing with the chemtrails. I can just hear it coming out now. Well, those are contrails. And it just goes on and on and on.
Well, that started even back in the days when, I don't know if you remember, because I was living in grew up in L.A.
Oh, golly.
And they were doing, they said, oh, my God, we have the Medfly. And they were spraying it with, not parathion, no, malathion, which I know because I was a farmer, malathion. You don't want to spray that on around people.
No.
I mean, when I used to have grapes, we used to spray malathion and parathion, that you basically look like you're wearing a spaceman suit when you walk it. And here they're flying over people's houses and spraying that stuff. I was like, what?
I love it. I love it.
For the Medfly.
Oh,
that was like almost non-existent. And I've always wondered if it was really the Medfly or they're just really trying to test the reaction or something on people.
It would not surprise me in the least. They have a long history. If you go on the internet and start digging around, there's just case after case that's been documented that, you know, that goes back in time to the very beginning. That shows that they've been experimenting on us since the beginning of time, and that we're just like lab rats. You know, so, but all of this ties into the spiritual awakening that I think that we're involved with. It's going to force us to, at a certain point, there will be that 100th monkey effect. And I think that people will just instantly, there will be like an instant when we just know. We know the truth. I mean, don't you feel, when you look at the news or the internet, don't you get a gut feeling about what's truthful and what's not truthful?
Oh, you have a inclination, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and you can tell almost immediately when a politician or a story is not true. And unfortunately, that's most of them, but there's a truthometer, and it starts in our hearts. And, you know, people who have hardened their hearts with no conscience are not going to be able to pick that up. That's why I think that they're in a different world. You know,
and that's where there's two, basically there's, people are becoming separated.
Very much so.
Because, I mean, I've talked to people around me, and there's some people who amaze me who are totally aware of it, that you would not think of it. I mean, people who are like, working 9 to 5,
yeah,
and they're totally
yeah.
aware of it. And then people who you think are most educated
yeah.
don't even have a clue.
Yeah, isn't it interesting?
And I was looking at them like, you know, and there are managers of companies and stuff.
Yeah.
And they don't even get it. And like, I mean, I'll give you an example. I think they got this one friend, he's actually a friend of mine,
uh-huh.
and he was blown away. You know, he's all into whether it's a Clinton or Obama or whether it's there's a McCain. And I said, do you want to know something? If you go and go on Wikipedia and click on Bilderbergs, go open another page, click on the Trilateral Commission,
uh-huh.
click on the Council of Foreign Affairs,
uh-huh.
it shows how they were developed, who developed them, then list on who meets there, then look on what the World Trade Organization is,
uh-huh.
the World Bank Organization is,
uh-huh.
you'll find out how first there was actually a split of the Bilderbergs, and that was back in the turn of century, and why there was the who started the Nazis, and who the J.P. Morgans and all that stuff. And if you read who the players are now, like, I mean, they were surprised when they saw neocons such as the Wolfowitz and
mm-hmm.
and Cheney and the Bushes
mm-hmm.
together with Edwards. The Carters,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so on and so. And then I said to him, you want us to look at something real interesting? Now look up the name Zeb Brzezinski, who's head of the Trilateral Commission. The day he became the foreign advisor for Barack Obama
uh-huh.
was in October. And in October, out of nowhere, suddenly Barack Obama has all his campaign funds.
Yep.
And then look who's on the committee for the Foreign Affairs, Carolyn Kennedy.
Yeah.
And then look on Carter, and then you'll find also Bush, and you'll find they're all...
And Bush's grandparents, the grandfather that was supplying arms to the Nazis.
Well...
I mean, you know, it just goes on.
And the Rockefellers, Standard Oil supplied the chemicals and...
To both sides.
Well, that was a split. That was because they were trying to... The Bilderbergs got split at that moment.
Right.
And there was a fight between the Rothschilds and the European Bilderbergs and the J.P. Morgan, who was on the American side. They were trying to take down the Rothschilds. And they were trying to use the Nazis to do it, and it backfired. And then afterward, they regrouped, and that's when they started the... That's when they... regrouped and started a 1947 conference in Netherlands, which the official Bilderberg thing started, and then that changed everything.
You know, I was just talking with Fred Burks last week, who was on the show. He has a site called wanttoknow.info, I think it is. Anyway, he worked in the White House as a translator with some of the presidents. He mentioned the Bilderbergs, too, and the funny thing is, when I was a little kid, I was just, you know, probably 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. My dad used to talk about the Bilderbergs all the time. And my parents would have a few cocktails, and they'd get into a philosophical discussion with their friends. And he used to, I remember him saying, well, the Bilderbergs own everything. You should know that. And over the years, he introduced me to that, and that was probably in 1955. So, you know...
I bet you if I mentioned one member, you'd be blown away that he was one of the head members of the Bilderbergs.
Go ahead.
Yasser Arafat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's why, and if people didn't realize, you know, they're not, and I know there was another person on one of the shows here we got in a little conflict over, but I told her, she was blown away. I said, you know what, there will never, ever be a Palestinian state.
Yeah.
What they're going to do is... And you can see what they're doing, because it's doing with the Israelis and Jordanians. They're going to do joint control of Jordan.
Uh-huh.
The Egyptians are going to take over the Gaza.
Okay.
And the whole point of Iraq, why they got the United States to get into Iraq,
uh-huh.
was to put a fear thing onto the Saudis and the Arabs or the Sunnis to make peace with Israel, to force, to create a Middle East Union.
Uh-huh.
Which will be like the European Union.
Right.
And then meantime, I don't know if you know, they're playing games. Something's really going on with the dollar. They purposely bankrupt
yes.
the dollar.
Yes. Oh, they're trying.
And then they're going to try to, they're trying to figure a way to sneak in the Aero currency.
And create the North American Union.
Exactly. So you're going to have the North American Union, the European Union, the Middle East Union, and you already have start with because the Chinese, the Japanese, and Southeast Asia, and the Koreans, they're already merging together to form, well, they already have it, the Asian Union, and that's what they're trying to do, create the supposed new world order. Of course, I think it's going to backfire.
I do, too.
As they do that, that's when all the stuff with the ETs is going to hit them in the face, and people are going to rise and realize you're full of it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, speaking of ETs, they do have the technology to present holographic images that are just as real as somebody. You would think that you were talking to the person right there. And, you know, more than one person has speculated that they would like to, one of the plans that they have on the table is to play a massive holographic space war to supposedly unite all the world's peoples. And then the one ET that wins, supposedly, is going to then be hailed as the savior of humanity and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I don't know what kind of nefarious plans these crazy, insane people have, which include genocide, getting rid of 6.5 billion people. But I don't think any of it's going to work. And even if it does, well, then so be it. Then maybe we'll be on another planet anyway. You know,
history always repeats itself, no matter what it
is. Oh, absolutely.
And there's always examples of history. And as much as the Romans were in control, they lost everything. As much as, you know, every emperor, or Napoleon, Hitler, you know, whatever, the British, even the United States, whatever, who was trying to take control, they end up losing.
Absolutely.
There's never been one single power. You can look down the history from the Persians to the Babylonians. Every single one of them have fallen.
Yeah.
And they fell when they thought they were almighty.
Yeah. Well, it makes for an interesting play, doesn't it? I mean, the one way to look at it, if in case there are world changes that have come up prior to 2012, because Earth has her little evolutionary path, too, and we're on her, so... you know, we're hopefully a little bit more than just fleas on her back. I think we're very loved beings of light, but I think that some of the bad fleas are going to be shaken off. And you know, it's important for us all to remember that these are changes that have been talked about for, you know, centuries by prophets and various other people, and it's a progressive thing. We're moving forward. That out of the ashes comes the phoenix. The phoenix rises from the ashes. That'd be a good book for you to write next. about the destruction of the world and how the small coterie of people banded together and created a new civilization. Well, it's probably been done before.
I think there's a book called The Dispossessed. That's what it reminds me of.
Hey, and what about the Indigo Kids? Have you heard about them too?
Actually, I'm supposed to have an Indigo Kid coming on to my show either next month or in July. I'm trying to get on. And he's originally from Puerto Rico and extremely clairvoyant. And that's fascinating. You know, and I'm meeting kids who don't even realize they're indigo.
Uh-huh.
You know, that they're like I look at one, there's one kid I know who I'm trying to get on my show maybe this Friday, coming Friday.
Uh-huh.
And he's definitely a prodigy, extremely clairvoyant. And aware of all the stuff, like what we talk about, the extraterrestrials, free energy, and totally fascinating.
Yeah, and
so far ahead, but it's weird. You look at him, and you look. I know his father, and his father's a owner or a semi-owner of a major company here in Vegas, and he's like night and day. He's like so far ahead of his own parents. That's really bizarre. And I think I think he's an indigo kid, and he doesn't even aware of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, meeting a lot of, it's sort of funny. And I think I think eventually everything's going to be more like indigo kits.
Oh, yeah.
And I it's like what you're talking about. People, they're going to be changing. And I think it's like David Wilcock had brought up, there was the electromagnetic field that we're lining up, our planets are lining up,
mm-hmm.
is actually affecting our, what they call the tertiary effect on our DNA, which is
mm-hmm.
affecting our own matrix and our own spiritual side, and it's affecting us clairvoyancy, but that's also giving us the choice, like you had mentioned, to the opportunity to embrace, you know, the growth that we're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is, I mean, a great, I mean, this is great, great times to be in. I mean, God, you know, just think about it.
It is. It
you know,
is.
It's not like living during the time of Rome or,
no,
you
no.
know, or Nazi Germany or
no.
whatever.
It might be slightly comparable to living in one of the ancient civilizations like Atlantis or Lemuria. It might be. But even then, they say that the whole planet is slated to rise, where these periods have happened before. Apparently, the harvest of souls that have actually been able to raise their vibration has been fairly minimal. And this time, the whole planet is supposed to be given the opportunity to rise to a higher dimension. So
right, because every 11,000 years.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And we're the 11,000 year.
We're there, you know. We're there, dude.
Yeah, I know. That's what this is a great, unbelievable, great time to be in. I mean,
yeah, I have to remember that sometimes because, you know, when life seems mundane or difficult, and it's, you know, on the material levels, it is going to be more difficult. People are going to be shaken up. You know, the old paradigms are being loosened so that we can examine what it is that we really want out of life and move out of the old and into new territory. And that's called change, and, you know, it's not always easy.
Yeah, even the Earth is affected by it. Look how many the earthquakes that are happening, the many earthquakes that are happening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Places that you wouldn't think of, like in the Midwest now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And in China now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, look at all the tornadoes.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's just the beginning.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. I think, you know, when a baby's being born, you know, we're going through the labor pains.
Yeah, yeah. And who knows, maybe we'll go through a black hole and that will be the birth canal.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's that particle accelerator at CERN, you know, some physicists think that they're going to accidentally create a black hole. And
does that mean we go through the nursing stage again?
Oh, my God. Oh, heaven help us. Oh,
for those who have a oral complex.
Well, we won't go too far into that one. You've had your opportunity. We've all had our opportunity to delve into those realms as much as we need to, I'm sure. Although, you know, for us humans, it's never enough, is it? But, so yeah, there's great changes. Great changes coming. And a lot of that's going to look like disaster to some people.
Yeah, it's going to hitting a threshold. And then look, 2008, years. Not even a year and a half.
It forces you to look at your spiritual, you know, where you're at spiritually. I don't think that people are going to be rushing out to churches. Some might. I mean, you're going to have everything under the sun.
Yeah.
Because everybody has their own path, and there is no one-size-fits-all. You know, and I think people are beginning to realize that religions are an option. You know, they're, for the most part, they're an experience and limitation, but for some people, for a few, it's a way of self-expression. But there is no right way.
Well, I think that people are going to find the religion is really in your own heart.
Exactly.
And I think that's where they're going to start questioning being dictated by clerics on,
yeah,
you know, this is the way God is, this is the law I interpret that you're supposed to be follow,
yes,
or this is the way you're supposed to believe in God, and this is what the concept of God is.
Yes.
When there people are going to find the concept of God is really the reflection within your own heart.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and I think...
And that everything is sacred. You know, that once you go within and find that sacred spot within, then you don't have to go to a building that has graven images to express that, because every step you take is sacred. You know, the unconditional love that you share with your animals and your friends and your family, that's sacred. The food you eat, everything is sacred. So I think we're headed in some interesting directions. And before, you know, this hour's gone by really fast.
No, too quick.
Isn't it? I mean, it seems like we're just getting started.
Yeah.
Before the hour ends, I want you to mention your books again and where your websites are so people can find you.
Okay, my website for The Heretic, which there is a direct link to also When the Angels Have Risen, is www.andrewtheheretic.com.
Okay.
Or you can always go to directly to When the Angels Have Risen, which is also, there's also a link back to The Heretic, which is www.andrewfetter.com. And you can, and if anybody has MySpace, they can always contact me if they have questions or whatever at myspace.com/Andrew Fetter, and send me a message, or if you got a question or whatever.
Terrific. Well, Andrew, it's been a pleasure talking with you again. I've really enjoyed every second of it, and I wish you the best of luck on your book.
And thank you for having me on your show again.
Oh,
that's
wonderful.
Been great. Too quick.
I know. We'll have to do this again. By that time, you'll have a third book out.
Yeah, well, actually, I want you on my show because I want to read. I just started reading a little bit of your book, and I want to read it, and then I want you on my show.
Terrific. Well, that'd be great, because my book is completely stalled now, so I need to get the message out. It's a good thing I'm not worried about money.
By the time you become a millionaire, then it won't matter. There won't be any money necessary.
Exactly. I look forward to the day when we just love each other. Well, Andrew, you're terrific. And thanks again for being here, and thank you, audience, for listening and participating with us. And this is another show, A Fireside Chat, over and out. Good night, everybody.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.